Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Attitude, bitch.
Well, this should be a fun situation. Unfortunately, a last-minute scheduling conflict has come up for Tony Acero, so he is unable to join us here, and I'm just getting over a sinus infection. Andrew, the show falls on you tonight, buddy. Good luck with this one.
Nope. Okay, that's all, folks. Have a good one. We're done. Adios.
Welcome into the Raw Reaction for July 23rd, episode 15 of Season 5 here for the Reaction. I'm your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. I'm going to try to soldier my way through this as best as possible. I'm going to warn you, I sound like crap. I'm sure you guys can hear it in my voice. I'm just now getting over a sinus infection that put me on my ass for the better part of about 3 days. As I mentioned, the Down Since Day One co-host Tony Acero had a personal commitment come up and is unable to join us this week. Hopefully he and Andrew will be back with you next week. I will explain more details on that a little bit later on. But for now, I'm here with the third man, Andrew Ballas.
Yeah, we don't do this very often. I think we've only done it like once before. It should be fun.
Once, twice, somewhere in that range. I know it's not more than a handful.
Indeed, it's
so,
usually me and Tony when it comes down to two, so...
So let's talk about history, shall we? Huh? History?
Oh, I see where you're going with that. The historic aspect of this and the historic aspect of a certain announcement. Yeah. Synergy.
They make me want to punch a kitten.
Over the top.
I want to state for the record that I have absolutely no issue at all with the women getting their own pay-per-view, and that is the marquee story coming out of tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. October 28th, and we spent the better part of about 15 minutes with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H fellatiating themselves before they got to the announcement. That October 28th, the previously second scheduled pay-per-view for the month of October, is now being replaced. And it will be WWE Evolution, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, as it will be the first ever all-women's pay-per-view in the WWE. Let's ignore the fact that Shimmer and Shine and Stardom and Rise have been doing all-women's pay-per-views for the better part of almost half a decade now.
And TNA did their first one-night-only pay-per-view for all-women in, I think, 2013.
Do we really want to talk about Knockouts, Knockdown? Because those were some hot garbage shows.
And you're expecting every match in this to be Knockdown, Dragout, Five Star Classics?
I did not say that, but I'm saying that the work rate on this show will probably be significantly better than that one was.
I mean, and to be fair, not every Stardom show is very good either, so...
I have three words for you, Andrew. Ow, my pussy!
Oh, and here I thought you were going to say Salinas versus Rebel. That was the awful one, right?
That's where that line comes from.
Yeah, no, well, that's three words too, so I wasn't sure where you were going for it, so that's nice.
I chose the much more vulgar of the two alternatives.
You really did. You really did. You're picking up for the slack that Tony's leaving in the broadcast, aren't you?
something like that. No worries. Anywho, so we do officially announce the all-women's pay-per-view, and every single fucking person the rest of the show had to mention it.
Of course. It's WWE. They beat you over the head with the story they want to tell. If you weren't excited and you didn't think it was historic, by the 78th time you hear it in 25 minutes, you're going to at least understand its significance in WWE lore.
This will be the only time we talk about this during the show, because I'm sure you don't want it beaten over your head on the podcast as well.
I mean, we could, because this podcast is going to be as historic, just like that pay-per-view on October 28th, where it's just all women, and they deserve it so much.
I have a mute button over here, Andrew, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Well, then you and your nasally sinus-infected ass can do it yourself, then. Mute me away.
You know what? At this point, rather than us talking about history, my nasally infected ass might be a better job on this here by myself.
Fair play.
Our opening contest is the tag team title rematch. We'll talk about the overarching theme right before these segments a little bit later on in the show. But it's the tag team title rematch as the B team defends. Wow, those are three words I never thought I'd say together. Against Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
Is this just three words? Is that going to be your thing? You're taking coaches one word and you're going to make it three words?
Because I'm three times better of a commentator than coaches.
I mean, that's not saying much, but it's very true.
At this point, you're probably right. Back in 2003, heel coach, okay, I'll give him his due. I got three more words that I never thought I'd say together as well. B-team retains. Curtis Axel gets a mat-based crucifix after Wyatt gets thrown into Hardy and Axel gets the roll-up, and it's a clusterfuck at 8:20. Post-match, heel turn-ish, kind of, sort of, yeah, maybe.
I'm not looking too much into things, because, you know, we've seen Matt Hardy get more aggressive and pissed off as the weeks have gone on, where he keeps losing in stupid ways, and this was just the cherry on top, I suppose, and I don't know, we have another questionable heel turn moment maybe in this show, so maybe that's an overarching point to everything.
But as long as we're remembering the pay-per-view on October 20th, okay, I'm done, I swear. Chad Gable gets television time, good for him. I completely fucking forgot he was on the main roster.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what show he was on either.
Talking to Finn Balor about everything going on with the women's paper. So Chad Gable, one of the
yourself?
Best athletes on your roster. Huh?
I said, it sounded like you cut off on my side, so I thought you muted yourself when you were about to say women's pay-per-view.
No, I intentionally stopped myself from saying it, but yes, it was a self-mute.
Oh, okay. That works.
So you're telling me that arguably the best overall real athlete in the company gets television time in order to... Yeah, okay. Fuck you. Anyway. When they see Finn Balor's stuff being moved out of the locker room by orders of Constable Corbin, they find out where his stuff is being moved to. He's getting his own locker room. A girl's playset that can go in like a backyard. To be fair, on Instagram, Finn did have some fun with this as he took a very funny photo inside of the playhouse.
Yeah,
and now
I
kind of want to see a backstage segment next week. Balor's Play TV Playhouse. Balor's Playhouse.
And who's going to play the chair that talks? And what's going to be the word when they scream?
Constable would be the word, obviously. That goes without saying. Or no, Evolution is the word. Ah, suck it, Hunter!
Yeah, Hunter's favorite word, very obviously.
And the talking chair will be played by Chad Gable, so that way he gets more TV time.
Oh, that works. That works. I don't hate that, because I was thinking that or Goldust, but I don't know if Goldust has recovered enough from his surgeries to pretend to be a chair.
Goldust had knee surgeries. He's out for a while. And by knee surgeries,
that.
I meant both knees.
I said surgeries. I said plural. I don't know if I cut out on your side, but I'm aware. Oh, you know what he could do? He could be the genie head in the crystal ball. That could be Goldust.
As long as he's not masturbating in a movie theater, I think we're okay.
I mean, are you really going to kick the guy out? Come on, he's got crutches.
That bought me more than it should have. Constable Corbin makes fun of Balor's new locational occupants and then proceeds to make a match between Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre, which the commentators had just mentioned 45 fucking seconds ago. Continuity's out, art the bitch. Okay, so here's the
Balor
reason
didn't
why.
Didn't hear it. That's why.
Was he too low to the ground? Did Cole's voice not carry enough? Was that another short? Anyway.
I mean, if crowds say it's hard to hear backstage segments, it's got to work both ways, right? So Corbin was merely, you know, doing the good messenger thing and making sure that Balor was fully aware of the match that was just announced a minute beforehand.
So this is the segment I really wish Tony was here for. Because I was about as crude as possible in the group chat that we have for the reaction when this segment aired. This segment airs. The segment that I'm referring to, Pronouns, Pal. Copyright Bruce Prichard,
yeah.
2017. The segment that I'm referring to here is the Sasha Bailey and... Sasha Bailey? Well, I mean, I guess it works. The Sasha Banks and Bailey segment where they're interviewed by random interviewer. Was it Charlie or Dasha? I couldn't tell. I honestly don't remember. Almost 4 hours ago, my mind shot from all the times they said Evolution in tonight's broadcast.
Fair play.
And said that ever since last week's episode of Monday Night Raw, they got together and they had a really long talk. And now Sasha has a jacket that looks just like Bailey's. They have a strong friendship and a big dreams, and then they mentioned, yeah. I got it. Going forward, I got to talk to DeMarco. Anytime somebody says the word on WWE TV about the women's pay-per-view, we just play Sideshow Bob's grumbling from The Simpsons.
that's going to go over well with our female listeners.
We have female listeners? Wait,
I mean,
who's more
we've got
important?
Three total. One might be a woman. You never know.
More importantly, I think the secondary question to ask to that is, we have listeners?
Hey, people have called in once every couple weeks, so that means somebody does something on an occasion, right?
Okay, the last two people to call in were arranged by Tony, and one of them was a guy who had just worked the episode of Monday Night Raw.
But he was still listening to us talk, so he tuned in. Boom. Hits, motherfucker.
So, speaking of fucking...
I tagged
Tony in the group chat when this segment airs, and two simple words afterwards, based on the cheesy-ass grins that they both had watching the video feed of last week's segments. Yep, they fucking...
You know, they can be good friends and not have HLA all over the place. You know this, right?
They can, absolutely, but do we trust this writing team not to go there?
I mean, that's asking a lot just to trust a writing team to put together something competent every week. So, I don't know. That might even be too hard for them.
Well, the talk is that Stephanie wants to pander more towards the LGBTQ community.
We have Sonya Deville.
Okay, but they're not using Sonya, and she, more importantly, she's on SmackDown. Raw's the show that everybody talks about. Raw's the A show.
If that's what you still want
going
to believe, sure.
Oh, no, I 100% think SmackDown is the better show, but Raw is still the A show.
It's our next show, that's true.
Our next match on tonight's episode was a tag match as Sasha Bailey, steering to the skid, just go with it, take on as, how was it that Tony put it in his Raw report, available on 411.com/wrestling?
Show.
Jobberella and Jobberina, I think he called them.
Perhaps. I guess I really have to start reading Tony's report because I really don't follow any kind of live coverage when I'm watching myself.
Or you could read Stephen Mitchell's live reports on thechairshot.com.
Good job, Shill. But good job. I'm proud of you.
Gotta make our evil master overlord Booker Man happy.
I agree with you completely, and we don't mean Booker T.
Sucka! Minute and 25 seconds later, Banks and Bailey pick up the win, and all is well in the world of friendship, at least at this particular moment, until Sasha beats the ever-loving fuck out of Bailey a couple of weeks down the road.
Nah, they're going to just keep them together for that whole rumored women's tag team division, because, they have to have pairs for some reason. So, yeah, they have to stay together. Come on.
So what you're saying is they're going to be the best of friends until October 28th?
You know what? They'll probably stay best of friends at that point. They'll probably tease Sasha trying to screw her over somehow, but then they'd be like, oh no, they hug and it's okay, and they overcome whatever it is and they win the match.
Oh, sweet giblets.
Yeah, basically just erasing 2 months worth of stuff.
I just got a message from one of my friends. I won't use the name in order to protect the innocent and or the guilty here.
Okay.
With Stephanie doing her pandering, you know what's left, right? Coming March of 2019, the first ever transgender pay-per-view in the WWE.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. They might wait another year.
Moving on.
Because, 2020 vision is hindsight, so all that good stuff has to happen in 2020.
Must find you to buy. Elias once again tries to perform. Braun Strowman's not having any of it. Okay. So this is one of the few plugs that I will actually excuse, because there was at least a nice little bit of continuity in this plug. Granted, he's not the person that should be using gushy face continuity, but hey, A for effort.
Really?
B for effort?
Really?
C plus.
Really?
Hold on. I have a sound effect for this. Talk.
Yeah. I don't really think it was that big of a good thing, big of an anything. He shouldn't be talking like that. He softened his voice, softened his demeanor, and he put over his little big partner. Like, nothing felt right about that entire promo. That was so stupid, and it just, I don't know.
Really?
Hey. There we go.
I was just playing the sound effect. Carry on.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you found it, because I thought we had one on Blog Talk. I just wasn't 100% sure. But, yeah, so I don't get why they pick and choose when Braun's a monster, and then 10 seconds later he's making jokes and getting blushy with Alexa and then being this soft big teddy bear. But he's still Monster in the Bank somehow. Like, his character is so inconsistent if it wasn't so larger than life and so just hulking and just brutish. I don't know why people even pop for him anymore. He's a fucking joke.
I don't think we can say hulking, brother.
Hey, he's on better terms after his, you know, unspoken, but apparently very, very real, suspension from the Hall of Fame, which nobody heard anything about, but I guess it looks better in a press release. He's back in good graces. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
The irony of this is that he was never actually removed from the website or anything, but no, none of the WWE press releases are going to tell you that. By the way, I have an idea when it comes to Evolution.
Go,
I have an idea for when it comes to Evolution in the future here on the show.
Uh-huh. And here I thought you were just going to refer to it as a mystery.
I have the song in the queue. Why not take advantage? I'm just going to play the opening 10 seconds of the Evolution theme song.
It is a good song.
It is a very good song. Highly underrated. One of my all-time favorites. All right, back to the show. So Braun Strowman...
Yes, sir.
Braun Strowman's out to talk about the winner of Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns getting the shot at Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but it really doesn't matter who comes into SummerSlam or out of SummerSlam with the title because he's still lurking and he still has the Money in the Bank briefcase. He is then interrupted by Kevin Owens, who proceeds to cut one of the best promos of Kevin Owens' career. And I talked to a couple of other people about this as it was happening, and I want to know what you think of my assessment of this, why I enjoyed this promo so much here. Because, yes, Kevin comes off as something of a coward in the way that he went about getting his rematch here. But when he was talking about the fact of the consequences that being thrown off the top of that cage had on his family, specifically his 10-year-old son and his daughter, a heel is at his best when he feels that he is justified regardless of what he is doing. Kevin Owens right now feels justified for doing whatever it takes, any means necessary, to knock Braun Strowman down a peg or two because Braun Strowman made Kevin Owens mortal in the eyes of his family.
I mean, I see what you're saying, and I agree on principle, but it's such an overused angle that they do. You know, Shane got thrown off the top of everything in front of his kids the last couple of years, and they do the family angle a little too much where it does kind of just fall on deaf ears for me. But I'll give you the fact that he was speaking with more conviction than I've heard him speak with in a while, and that made his promo more captivating, and I bought into it a little better. The fact that even though he was being a little wormy about it, he was still kind of standing his ground and showing he was frustrated and that he still won and it meant something to him, but, you know, it still looked bad to his kids or whatever. So, yeah, context-wise, I wasn't a huge fan, but the way he sold it, I enjoyed that.
Let's go ahead and fast forward to what we find out a little bit later on in the show, since we can just tie these two together here. Owens and Kurt Angle are backstage with Stephanie, and Stephanie is about to leave when Owens approaches Kurt Angle and tells him that he wants another match with Braun Strowman, but he wants the opportunity to take the Money in the Bank briefcase, regardless of how Braun Strowman loses the match, pinfall, submission, countout, or disqualification. Kurt Angle does not feel like this is a good idea. Stephanie is thankfully there to cut his balls off and announce that she feels like it is a good idea and makes the match for SummerSlam. I must have your balls. And so she does. Going back to our regularly scheduled show. Okay, we got to clip this intro. Yeah, I'm going to have to clip like the first 4 seconds of that intro there in order to make it less dead air time.
Correct.
But it still works. as Natalya takes on, or excuse me, Ronda Rousey's best friend in the entire goddamn world, Natalya takes on Mickie James. And Mickie picks up the win with a, okay, Larry calls it a Mick kick. It's actually not. It's actually a super kick, but so many people threw super kicks, it really doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah.
Your thoughts?
It was a catch. I mean, the outcome didn't surprise me because Mickie hasn't won a match on TV in a long time. So you have to kind of make her look good, especially going into everything. Tags don't matter for shit, and you know that. But, you know, going into things and going into a certain thing they talked about, like, she needed a win. Like, you've got a 6-time women's champion, and you've had her getting squashed and jobbed out to everybody else. You know, I tried to just allude to it, but yes, that works. Anyway, so it was fine. I mean, a lot of Alexa interference, so it protected Natalya a lot, which seems a little ridiculous, but it happened. It was like 3 minutes or whatever, so I can't complain too much.
Roman Reigns promo talking about the main event tonight. I tune out and go get a sandwich.
No, that wasn't a bad promo. That was what I was alluding to before about how there's possible heel things. Like, he acknowledged the fact that he gets booed. He basically said he doesn't give a fuck about anybody and what the hell they have to say. He's going to do himself, and he's going to get that title that, you know, he deservedly should have and, you know, leave SummerSlam with the belt, which, yeah, that last part we've all heard. But the way he said everything else, kind of dismissive, was almost tongue-in in the fuck-em kind of mentality.
Okay, the problem that I have with that, though, is we've been kind of down this road before with Roman, where you feel like he's kind of leaning a certain way, and then, nope, it's back to status quo.
Oh, no, I agree with
Forgive
you completely
me.
That we've sort of seen this, but it wasn't a bad promo, and it did kind of leave you thinking, all right, that was a little nastier. That showed a little more fire. Maybe they're going to pull the trigger with this whole heel Roman thing.
DBTH, Andrew.
DBTH.
Don't believe the hype.
There we go. I was just confirming I heard the letters right, but that works. I like that.
Elias yet again tries to perform. This time the Authors of Pain interrupt. Well, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Elias is a tag team wrestler who's feuding. Oh, wait, no, he's not. Anyway, the Authors of Pain come out to the ring and they want a match against anybody except for Titus Worldwide because they're done with the three of them. I'm not sure I'm necessarily done with Dana, but as far as the other two go, I could probably agree to that. Titus and Apollo have other ideas, however, as they come out and confront them. Authors of Pain make fun of what happened to Titus at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Titus flubs the name of the show in typical Titus O'Neil fashion, but then says that there are lessons to be learned from this, such as he's taught Apollo respect, and Apollo's been able to help feed his family on the basis of what Titus has done for him. The Authors of Pain retort The Authors of Pain retort that Titus can teach them a lesson and walk away, but Titus has other ideas. They brawl, and Titus Worldwide stands tall to end the segment here. I feel like this was a misstep after having Titus Worldwide getting dominated for 2 weeks in a row by the Authors of Pain. I feel like the Authors of Pain should be moving on to other things besides Titus O'Neil and Apollo no longer Cruz.
Yeah, but in the same respect, I feel like this was WWE kind of acknowledging everything that happened last week after the Hogan reinstatement and the fallout that the internet had against Titus, because you heard some idiots say things about who is he, he's a nobody, he's a jobber, yada, yada, yada. And this promo, though it was a little slow or stagnant, whatever we'd like to call it at points, it got over the fact that regardless of the wins and losses in the ring, Titus O'Neil is one of the best community members that WWE has. he gets over as like Father of the Year, and he's done all this other Make-A-Wish stuff, and his impact on people is a lot bigger than a belt or two, or, you know, accolades, or Slammies, or, you know, anything like that. Like, he's a genuinely good human being, which is more than you can say about other people in the ring there, in the company, and all that other stuff. So I feel like this could obviously be looking way too deep into it too, but it was throwing Titus a bone, almost, like telling him it's a good thing he stood up for his convictions and that they respect him, so they want to get him over a little bit just as the person and as the man that he is.
Our next contest is a rematch from last week. It's a rematch from next week, which means it's going to happen again next week, too. You heard it here first.
Probably.
As Mojo Rawley takes on Tyler Breeze. All right, so I have a question here for continuity reasons here. What is it that made No Way Jose not worthy of an immediate rematch, but Tyler Breeze is? Is Breeze somehow further up on the pecking order? Because I clearly don't see that.
I mean, Breeze has been around longer, and he's had more exposure. So, I mean, technically he's higher up on the pecking order. Not by much, but I mean, technically, yes.
But is it enough for Mojo to actually be willing to entertain the idea of this rematch? Granted, Mojo gets time on Monday Night Raw and debuts a nice new finishing move with that Sit Out Alabama Slam for the win at 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
No, I mean, Tyler didn't bring a cheeseburger to the ring for Mojo to harass instead, so he had no other choice.
See, I feel like there were things that Mojo could have touched on with Tyler Breeze about the fact that he doesn't take this seriously. He's too busy posing for the camera on his selfie stick rather than taking what he does between these ropes as importantly as he does his camera.
Well, that's what the announcers got over for us, because they were talking about how people that don't take it seriously, like No Way Jose, Tyler Breeze, and how Rude is glorious but apparently can't win his matches, or whatever the hell he said about Rude. Like, this is all leading to Rude, so this could just be why Breeze got the rematch, because it's just the bump in the road to a Mojo-Rude pre-show match at SummerSlam.
It's because Breeze is Canadian, isn't it?
Yes. Always that answer. Blame Canada.
Actually, don't blame Canada. Blame yourselves.
Whoa. This is not my Batman glass. Let's go to the next segment.
You know, as our resident WCW fan, I expected you to get that.
You know, let me be serious for a minute. Just go to the next segment.
Thank you!
I knew who you meant. I just wasn't going to acknowledge it.
Promo time from Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, speaking of being serious. They talk about the fact that they're here to take over Raw, that they're enacting their plan. McIntyre kind of touched on this last week with Ziggler as the Intercontinental title holder and McIntyre as the Universal Heavyweight Champion. I would not be opposed to that scenario, just for the record.
No, that sounds good.
And that McIntyre will take out Finn Balor once and for all tonight. Elias goes to perform again and is interrupted by Finn Balor. These two have some history, therefore I can accept this one. Drew McIntyre versus Finn Balor turns into a disqualification thanks to ye old balls to the turnbuckle at 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Disqualification caused by Ziggler due to the groinering of Finn Balor. Your thoughts on the match?
Groinering.
Yes.
That sounds like an awkward movie.
It sounds like something that would end up on Pornhub next to Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Either that, or it's like on Comedy Central, and it's just a bunch of just videos of people getting kicked in the balls. And instead of like The Conjuring, it's The Groinering. And it's just always. Oh, just hard to watch. But the match, well, the commercial break didn't help it, and it felt like it was building somewhere, but with what we were able to see and with the way it finished, it kind of was just there. Like, it could have been something. It had a lot of momentum, but then it got crushed at the wrong time.
Da 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 da. Ziggler joins in with McIntyre for the two. I put it over. Ziggler joins in with McIntyre for the 2-on-1 beatdown after the match, until Seth Rollins comes running in, balls on fire, to make the save. Anyway, wait, I'm being told I can't say balls, Mahoney. Anywho,
sure you can.
Kurt Angle comes out and decides to pull the Teddy Long special out of his ass. It's a tag match, playa. As it'll be Finn Balor and Seth Rollins taking on Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. I almost said Dolph McIntyre. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre.
I
feel like that would be a better random name generator than Dolph Ziggler was.
Unless he was on Pornhub again. This all comes back to Pornhub for some reason tonight. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, Seth Rollins is in this match, so.
Yeah, but is Joey Ryan?
We're not allowed to discuss Joey Ryan if Tony isn't here. That's part of the rules of his show.
I mean, according to Being the Elite, he's dead. Hangman paid, the Hungman killed him. So, we can talk of the dead.
The tag match itself actually sees, yet again, the continuation of a feud from tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. Yeah, best to just move on. Seth Rollins pins Dolph Ziggler with the blackout curb stomp at 12 minutes and 5 seconds, about 9 of which was actually shown. Solid little tag match here. I feel like this might have been the better way to go off of the original setup rather than giving us a BS singles match leading into it. Just give that segment that you gave to the singles match going into this match, just give it all to this straight-up tag match here, and you would have probably had one of the better matches of the month for the month of July on WWE television. As it stands, it was still one of the better matches of the month on WWE television.
It was fine.
Super, super incisive there, Andrew. Appreciate it.
I mean, honestly, it just all blurred together. I don't even remember what happened in the match. It was a typical match with all four of them. Something happened. Seth Rollins to the curb stomp. I'm assuming I could probably figure out that there was a whole bunch of Seth Rollins' basic bullshit, so. As we've been over, Seth Rollins does not impress me. He wonderfully choreographs what he knows how to do, and it looks slightly impressive, but it's always the same shit.
Bobby Lashley, speaking of slightly choreographed but impressive, Bobby Lashley promo. I actually thought Lashley's promo here was pretty good.
It was his best of coming back, but that's also not saying much.
Yeah, Bobby always comes off as kind of wooden, but at least this time you actually had some believability behind what he was saying, because he had already gone out there and beaten Roman's ass once, and when he says he's going to do it again, you think to yourself, well, okay, he's probably going to do it again.
Fair enough, yeah.
Hold on 1 second, we're getting there, don't worry. I'm running this into the ground like my name is the WWE.
Yeah, at least we're not going to have to deal with this next week, boys and girls, because Harry's not going to be here.
That's okay. I'll pass it along to Tony, and I'll see if he can't keep it going.
Tony will forget.
Ember... Yeah, of course he will. Ember Moon and Liv Morgan, as we go back to that, after having Ember Moon lose to Sarah Logan last week. This time, though, Liv Morgan eats yet another pinfall. 3.5 minutes. No commercial break. That's how important Liv Morgan is. Her ass doesn't even get to a commercial before the Eclipse puts Liv Morgan down for the 3 count.
I mean,
I expect Ember to... okay, in all sincerity about this, about the show that's coming up in October here, I expect Ember to have a major, major role in that show. I would not be surprised if she's not in the challenge arena for the Raw women's title match at that show.
Well, that gives us, what, 3 months to build? So I would assume she'd be more of a main event player in 3 months, especially with how they're booking her now. So that's a safe assumption, I would believe.
Either that or her and Ruby Riott are going to beat the shit out of each other for 10 minutes, and I'm okay with that, too.
Depends on when Riott comes back, but yeah, all possible.
6 to 8 off a sprained MCL, I think. 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, that lines up at least, so yeah, maybe.
Seth Rollins announces he has the IC title match backstage against Ziggler, coming off of an Iron Man match, coming off of a... Didn't they have some kind of gimmick match on Raw as well?
I thought they just had a regular rematch. Then he had the match against McIntyre, where if McIntyre won, then he was there. But if he lost and McIntyre was not around for the Iron Man match, then the Iron Man match.
And then
right?
Tonight's tag match play. And then
correct,
tonight's
yeah.
tag match play.
Yep, yep.
So we're going to get Rollins and Ziggler again for the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam. My question to you
Yay.
Is, after doing the Iron Man match at Extreme Rules, what can they do to follow that up? I mean, I know yep. Money in the Bank was 2 months ago here, but would a ladder match be out of the question?
Pistol on a pole, Russian roulette style. Figure it out. Somebody's got to lose.
Seth Hater.
Sorry, was that a little dark? I'm not sorry.
Now I wish I had Gemini Syndrome in our sound cue. Son of a... Anyway. Elias finally gets to perform. Good for Elias.
Woo-hoo!
He puts over the fact
Yay!
That he's on Spotify. I'm on Spotify, Elias. It's not that impressive.
Let him have his moment, goddammit.
I'm not ranked number 4 in my category like Elias is, so I guess he's got that going for him.
Just let him have his moment. He tried all night to have his moment. Don't step on his moment.
I feel like now would be the perfect time for me to play the Evolution song again.
Yeah, it kind of would be.
But anyway, Elias then stops his performance about not even a quarter of the way into it, and says he just realized where he was tonight and the thought made him nauseous. Having been to Cincinnati, that is a completely accurate statement.
Oh, and you live in Ohio, too, so that means you, like, breathe the same air. How can you say that?
I live in Ohio. I breathe the same air. We don't associate with Cincinnati. Okay, as a Buffalo Bills fan, I kind of associate with Cincinnati because, you know, the Bengals, Ravens, Bills, playoffs.
Yes, yes, they helped you out. I'm aware of how that worked out last season.
And then there was like $17,000 in donations to Andy Dalton's charity because of it.
See, so you mess with Cincinnati when it's good for you.
Yes, I can tolerate Cincinnati. How's that? Does that work?
Yes, that works better. Don't disrespect the
Queen
City.
Elias, that's Charlotte, but thanks for playing.
No, it's actually both of them. Googled it.
Really? They have a... That city is so unoriginal, it can't even have its own nickname.
Yes.
And checkmate. Our main event is the number one contenders match between Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. And I have to tell you here, you know what? I don't necessarily like either of these guys in the ring. But something about being in there against each other, these two have a really good chemistry for guys who aren't the greatest wrestlers.
That's a loaded statement because neither of them are bad wrestlers. They're just not the work rate wrestlers that people seem to enjoy more nowadays.
Well, allow me to expand upon my thoughts there. Roman Reigns
sure.
can have very good matches when Roman Reigns is in the ring with people capable of having good matches. Bobby Lashley can have very good matches when Bobby Lashley is in the ring with people capable of having good matches. You put Roman Reigns in the ring against somebody like a No Way Jose 1-on-1, the match is going to suck. You put Bobby Lashley in the ring against Sami Zayn back in our last pay-per-view before Extreme Rules at Money in the Bank, and the match stunk. Now, granted, Sami was hurt, so not entirely on Sami there. And at least he finally got rid of that god-awful delayed vertical suplex finish. But for some reason, when these two are in the ring with each other, despite the fact that more often than not, when they're having their best matches, they're in the ring with superior wrestlers, something about these two together just clicks. The match at Extreme Rules was very good, despite the fact that the Pittsburgh crowd did not give a fuck. And the match tonight in Cincinnati was very good, and the crowd was much more invested in this, which I think helped motivate them to even drive a better performance than they had in Pittsburgh at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, but I think that's more because they use each other's style well. Because think about it, Roman and Braun was, I don't know if it won a WWE award, but it was at least up there for a lot of different websites and a lot of different places of Feud of the Year. And they had really good matches because they brawl well together. There are multiple different ways to have a wrestling match. It doesn't all need to be flips and dives and work rate and, you know, chain wrestling or submission holds
minus
or mat-based wrestling.
Stars.
You what?
Minus 5 stars. Shout out to Matthew and Watchamania.
Thank you. Anyway, so, yeah. So that, I think that's why it works out, because Lashley's always had pretty good matches against brawler types, because his last feud against Brian Cage, even though Brian Cage can do more than that in Impact, he was still doing the brawling kind of thing. They had really good, you know, strong style kind of matches where they just beat the shit out of each other. Roman kind of does that too. And when he's asked to kind of get out of his element, yeah, then he looks exposed. But the same thing happens to everybody. I'm not sure if there's a wrestler on the planet that could really have a good match with No Way Jose, because No Way Jose is kind of awful. And that gimmick is just bad, so you don't want to sell for him, because then you'll look weak, and then that'll just make the whole show look stupid. So, yeah, that's just rough. But I agree. The match was really good. It was probably a little better than their Extreme Rules match. I'll give you that one. And I don't know. I enjoyed the one spot that probably was a little messed up when Roman tried to, like, leapfrog and caught Bobby with, like, his dick. So I'm like, that's why he's the big dog, because he's got a low-key big dog, if you get my drift. Like, oh, yeah, the good old cock lariat. Samoan sex machine choking you down, then hits you with a spear. Out for the three. Yes.
The views and opinions of Andrew Ballas are solely those of Andrew Ballas and do not necessarily reflect any of the rest of us here at the Chairshot Radio Network.
Lies. And it's a Chairshot Podcast Network now, CSPN. Please don't sue us.
Wait, try that again?
Chairshot Podcast Network. Yes, Chairshot is one word, but we use the C and the S for it to be CSPN as a reference. And then... Exactly. Please don't sue us.
That should be our tag at the end of our intro. Do-do-do. Don't sue us.
Yes, it should. I agree with you.
A sign of respect. What is this, an independent wrestling show? Like every independent wrestling show? And we go off.
I don't know.
Air.
Did they say something? Did they say something on Twitter yet?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I haven't looked. In fairness, I don't follow either of them on Twitter, nor do I really use Twitter. So, you know.
That would be the key if it was like an independent wrestling show where they show the sign of respect and then put each other over on Twitter.
Promoters, make sure you book at whatever opponent's Twitter handle is.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great match. He's a great opponent. I worked my ass off. Blood, sweat, and tears. This is why I got into this business. All right. Come on, Cookie Cutter. Go home. Take a nap.
All 14 people in attendance enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in a boot tonight.
Yeah, you kind of are.
It's actually making for an entertaining show, which we have now finally reached the end of, as Roman stands tall once against the challenger to Brock Lesnar's Universal Heavyweight title.
Yeah, Roman!
Sorry, had a coughing fit there, had to mute my microphone. I'm going to use the old Albert Einstein quote here. The very definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah, I think Corey said that at some point tonight, yeah.
He did use that line with Kevin Owens, I believe.
I think you're right, yeah.
My point to that being here is, so this will be Roman Brock 4. Damn it. Can they
Come on, stop dying, Harry.
A good idea at this point?
I mean, Omega Okada 4, you know, nobody complained about that.
Yeah, to be fair, Kazuchika and Kenny were putting on way better matches against each other than Brock and Roman are.
Crowd, too. You know, I'm pretty sure if crowds didn't just openly shit on everything and if the people weren't just publicly lambasted, even though Japanese crowds didn't like Okada that much by the second and third Omega match, much less the fourth when they were just sick of him being champion, they still didn't, you know, just shit on the entire match and take the match over. So.
But my
cultures, man, cultures.
My point being is you've seen the fans backlash towards this match before on many different occasions. And while to an extent it was getting over at WrestleMania 31 until Seth Rollins took it to that next level with his mid-match cash-in, both of the attempts to repeat it since this year at WrestleMania 33 and then at the Greatest Royal Rumble have been met with what's, let's be nice and call apathy, and let's be frankly honest and call outrage.
You can say the same thing about Extreme Rules when Roman didn't go on last and the crowd still was not into the match and was not really responding correctly to that. And I have on good information from Backlash, because a couple of my buddies went there and I just didn't speak of it, was that people got up and left because the previous two or three matches were also awful. Like, I was informed that everybody was grumbling in the crowd. No one cared. Everybody assumed that was the end of the match, was Roman was going to go over, and they were just sick of being bored and seeing bad matches. So it wasn't just, you know, boycotting Roman. It was they were sick and tired of a boring pay-per-view in general.
I think overexposure is hurting the product as well, though, with the whole five-hour pay-per-view thing, because you have the one-hour pre-show and then the four-hour main cards.
Yeah, but then a lot of the same people that say that watch a five-hour New Japan show.
See, I can't watch a full New Japan show in one sitting. I think a lot of that has to do with me with the language disconnect, but we've had that conversation before.
We have, yes.
You know what I am? You know what I am looking forward to watching once we finish this podcast, though?
Slammiversary?
Slammiversary. I hear good things.
It was really good. Like, all of the undercard stuff, if you want to call it, was really solid. And the semi-main with Pentagon and Sammy and the main event with Aries and Moose, they definitely brought it home well. There was only one, like, kind of sloppy botch in the Seidel cage match, but it didn't really mess up the finish. Because it happened right towards the end, it just made Seidel look stupid.
We'll talk more about Slammiversary once I actually get around to watching it. I'm assuming a couple of those matches made it into the Andrew Ballas Weekly Top 5 on thechairshot.com.
One made it into the top 5, but we also had about 20 honorable mentions, because I really, really tried to find stuff that could actually beat the G1 matches, and only one thing from an American promotion made it in the top 5. The other thing that wasn't G1 was Dragon Gate in Japan, but even less people probably watched that.
Yeah, I watched Dragon Gate US, I watched Dragon Gate USA when it was a thing, but I never got into the actual home base promotion.
No, that's fine. So, yeah, you should definitely check out the article on thechairshot.com because, yeah, literally 20 honorable mentions. Like, I've never done that many honorable mentions. It was a ridiculous week in wrestling, and there's still three or four more. Boy.
I'm assuming anything 3.5 and up for honorable mention?
Anything 3 and up is usually an honorable mention. And to give you an example, top 5 was all 4.5 and up. So there's even 4 stars and 4.25 that only made honorable mention because quality was just too high this past week.
I'm going to guess Naito and Omega as your match of the week.
No. Goto and Ishii.
Throwback to the old never open weight battle.
Correct. And my number 2 was Zack Sabre and Sonata. Because that might have only been 11 minutes, but it's 11 minutes of pure technical mat wrestling, chain wrestling, just technical perfection. Like, if you like technical wrestling, you will love that match.
And then if you want to see two grown men just beat the absolute fuck out of each other, you watch Goto and Ishii.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. One other news tidbit to touch on before we get into our final reaction here. Apparently the WWE is interested in offering a contract to Matt Riddle. Apparently Matt Riddle is interested in rolling up that contract and smoking it.
Well, he did pull out of Bola, so who knows?
Do you think we ever see somebody with as publicly supportive of a stance on marijuana as Matt Riddle in the WWE? And don't say Van Damme, because Van Damme was a part-timer, therefore he was not subject to the wellness test.
I mean, at the point when it became overly public, yeah, he was a part-timer, but we all knew it beforehand. The internet just wasn't nearly as large and social media wasn't as big of a thing. But everybody knew he was a stoner. Jesus Christ. But I don't know. Lots of states are kind of being more lenient on that. So the WWE's wellness policy may slowly start, you know, excluding marijuana. And if it does, then, yeah, it's a no-brainer that Riddle's going to be in there.
Well, yeah, if they ever take THC off of the air, THC or THB, I don't smoke, so I don't know these things.
You were correct, THC.
Whatever the chemical is in marijuana that pops on a drug test, if they ever take marijuana, the THC off of the wellness policy there, A, I think it would help. I think it would help a lot of wrestlers, too, because of the whole pain aspect of it. It helps deal with pain, helps deal with pain tolerance and stuff. But I think it could make things more difficult for wrestlers as well, because since they're not feeling as much pain after their matches, they're more likely to do stupid shit, too.
I would almost agree with that if it was still 1995, but everything I've heard from interviews and podcasts with older wrestlers that go backstage with the younger guys, they're all playing video games. So, I mean, what's the dumbest thing that they're going to do? Play, like, Mario Party blindfolded? They might trip over a table?
I mean, inside of the ring, starting to feel invincible due to the fact that the legalization of it makes pain tolerance much more manageable. Something
yeah.
like Kevin Owens has bought that Extreme Rules being more of a regular occurrence.
Maybe. I see your point, but I also think that there'd be some kind of, like, rule where you can't partake within 48 hours of a match or something like that, so you can't, like, show up to the ring stoned. So that would still probably preclude them enough, because it'll still hurt during the match. Even if they can go light up afterwards and the pain subsides. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the initial pain is enough to make somebody go, oh, let's change that spot.
And that officially wraps up tonight's episode of The Raw Reaction. Let's get into our final reaction, Andrew. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Favorite match or moment from tonight?
Well, you know the favorite match or moment that I have has to be... No, I'm not going to do it. You can play the song now.
I have that planned for a little bit later. Don't worry.
Fine. Anyway, so...
Carry on the wayward, son.
I'm going to go with Roman versus Bobby because it was the best match of the night. And even though you kind of glazed over on Bobby's promo was good. Roman's promo was good. And the match was good. And the crowd actually reacted well. So that's my choice for best match or moment. What was yours?
I'm going to go with Roman and Bobby as well, actually. Something about these two together, they have freakish chemistry with each other. It's hard to explain. I mean, you kind of talked about it earlier. Roman works well with brawling types. Lashley works well with brawling types. So it makes sense that they'd be able to put together coherent matches. But coherent doesn't always necessarily mean good. In this instance,
correct.
Coherent means good.
Agreed.
Least Greg Watry moment of the week, Andrew.
I was about to say Greg Watry. And the Greg Watry has to go to, for me at least, it was actually a comment that was made trying to describe Liv. And this is something Tony talks about a lot, where instead of letting the character organically get over this concept or bring it up in a storyline, you just have the announcer tell you. And the fact that Liv thinks herself to be a juvenile delinquent, and then Corey pops up with, well, you've got to be under 18 to be a juvenile, so what, like, he just blatantly called her, like, ridiculous. So, I mean, that has to be the Watry moment because the writing is so stupid and her character is awful. Like, she's adorable, don't get me wrong, but, like, that whole smarmy, like, little kid kind of mentality and personality is just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. What's yours?
She's adorable because she's a fellow New Jerseyan.
No, she's adorable because she's tiny and blonde, and there's something kind of cute about her crazy Harley Quinn kind of persona, but that's about it. But I'm weird like that. I like him damaged, what can I say?
Alexa did it way better.
Eh, she was too bitchy. She just pulled off the look better than she actually pulled off the character.
Scale of 1 to 10, Andrew. I don't even feel the need to expand upon that.
No, you don't need to. You've expounded upon that enough throughout the show that the song explains it enough. Good job. Scale of 1 to 10, I'll give it an average 5. Like, the main event was good, yeah, but there was just so much about this show that was dawdling and contrite and stagnant. And I even said a couple times, like, I just kind of zoned out because I expected the matches just to go a certain way and something happened, and it kind of did. So I was not really engaged at all. So 5. What's your rating?
5.5. Just slightly higher than average, but I'm giving that because of the two really good matches that we got here tonight. The tag match with Finn and Seth against Dolph and Drew, and then the main event between Roman and Bobby.
Fair enough.
That being said, if I hear one more motherfucker mention the word evolution tonight, I'm punching a kid. I'm just saying, you guys are doing this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's your MVP tonight, Andrew?
I want to, but I'm not going to. I'm not Tony. I'm not going to stir the pot that much. MVP.
I swear to Christ, Andrew, I would hang up on you.
I know. If Tony was here, he would have made a reference, obviously, but he's not, so I'll let it slide.
If Tony were here, he's been around long enough to get away with making that reference. You, sir,
you'd still punch a kitten anyway. Oh, you'd still punch the kitten. You know what? You'd RKO the kitten or Batista bomb it or maybe something else from that stable. What were they called again?
Hold on. I got the socks. No, I'm done. I played that clip enough. I'm good.
Okay. MVP is going to have to go to Roman just because I'm hoping that promo goes somewhere. The match was really good. The match was the best match of the night. And if that promo goes somewhere, we might finally have something to kind of latch onto with a personality aside from just, you know, wet hair, good-looking Samoan sex machine who does stuff and says ooh-ah. What about you?
Believe that!
Damn right.
Never thought I'd see the show where Roman Reigns is my most valuable player.
Oh, yes. The tides are turning, Harry. The tides are turning.
That or everybody else just had an off night. No,
the tides are turning. Shut up.
Despite how good the tag match was, it's nothing that we haven't seen before from that combination. And by that combination, I mean those exact four people in that exact type of match, just without the Teddy Longing in order to get there. We've seen Finn and Seth versus Dolph and Drew many times in the past, and it's always been good. We've seen Bobby and Roman once in the past, and it was good then. It was even better tonight, and it's not something that you would expect. And despite the fact that there is a very large portion of the audience that no matter what they do with Roman will not care about him, you cannot argue that when he is in the ring with a competent performer, he can more than hold up his end of the bargain. I have stated this many times about Roman on another podcast that I do, and I will say it here for the very first time. I do not hate the performer. I hate the character. Because Roman Reigns, the wrestler, is actually pretty damn good. Roman Reigns, the character, fucking sucks.
Well, yeah, kind of.
And that's going to wrap it up for this week here on The Raw Reactions. Andrew, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about next week since, you know, I won't be here.
Well, I think I mentioned it or I alluded to it at least earlier that due to Harry having some other plan, it's going to just be me and the Down Since Day One co-host Tony Acero, assuming he doesn't get random plans because I'm not doing this alone. So next week, it's all on you, Tony. If you're listening, and you're probably not, you probably don't give a fuck, and you probably only listen when you tune in, and that's only when you're on the show, so you don't even probably listen to what you say. You just say shit, you dirty motherfucker. You better show up next week.
You're welcome!
My sound effect game is on point tonight, Andrew.
It is pretty good. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
I'm looking forward to catching up with my niece and my nephew, who I haven't seen since last year. So, yeah, needless to say, the show is not a priority for me next week. I will be spending time with family next week. I will be back in 2 weeks, however. The first episode of the Raw Reaction for August, that would be the 4th, as we continue the road to, not the 4th, 6th. The fuck am I saying? August 6th.
You're drunk. Go to bed.
The road. I'm Titus. Go to bed.
Exactly.
As we continue the road to SummerSlam here on the Raw Reaction. Don't forget, on the 13th, we have our predictions. And since Andrew's partially kind of sort of helping to run the thing over at thechairshot.com, we might do our NXT predictions on the Raw Reaction as well next on the 13th, Andrew. Just a heads up. Make your life a little bit easier so you're not having to chase us down after the podcast to get predictions. Trying to help you.
I mean, that depends on easy because the G1 ends on the 12th and I'm doing coverage with it's me and Matthew. So that's a lot to cover too. God damn.
Where are you guys doing that coverage at?
Oh, on thechairshot.com.
Shill! You're welcome,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah, you've been good with that today. Good job. You should have like sinus infections more often. I like that.
He's Andrew Ballas for the absent down since day one co-host Tony Acero. I'm Harry Broadhurst. Thanking you for listening to this week's episode of The Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. He's not here this week, Andrew. You get his job. Go for it.
Deuces, bitches.
Deuces, bitches.
I know.
have been listening to the Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Chairshot Podcast Network. CSPN. And don't sue us. I'm Harry Broadhurst. Thank you guys for listening. Andrew Ballas and Tony Acero will be back with you next week for the Raw Reaction. I will return in 2 weeks for the August 6th edition of the show, and we continue the road to SummerSlam on both of those shows. The Beast Incarnate returns next week. We'll see what Andrew and Tony have to say about that come next Monday night. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later here on the Chairshot Podcast Network.